the prisoner, the powerless, the slave have always known it. There's something that keeps reaching for the sky. And even life begins because a baby fights for freedom. And songs we love to sing have freedom's theme.
Some have walked through fire and flood to find a place of freedom. And some face hell itself for freedom's dream. Let freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring wherever hearts know pain.
Let freedom echo freedom into every fiber of creation, and it meant for us to all be free and whole.
Free and whole.
Whole when my Lord bought freedom with the blood of his redemption.
His cross and pardon on my very soul. I'll sing it out with every breath. I'll let the whole world hear it. This hallelujah anthem of the free. That iron bar chains can never hold us captive. The Son has made us free, and free indeed. Let freedom ring down through the ages from a hill called Calvary. Let freedom ring.
If you would please with me and turn to Joshua chapter 4. I need a little bit more sound here, guys. I'm not getting sound. A little bit more sound, if you would please. Joshua chapter 4. Thank you. That sounds much, much better. Joshua chapter 4 in your Bibles. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm glad you're here this morning. You glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. How many of you are still suffering with allergies like I am? You know, I decided that if I was as faithful to God as allergies are to my body, it'd be an amazing thing. And, you know, I go to bed with it. I wake up with it. I live with it all day long. I think in the middle of the night, I'm still living with it. Don't know it. And it is great to be here today. We certainly want to honor the Lord today, but we love our country, and we thank God for our country. And I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to play the video that I want to remind you about. Joshua chapter 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you out 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said to them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be made for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and there they are unto this day." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray you'd speak to us. Thank you for our nation. May this be a special service today as we remember those who gave their lives for our country. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. very thankful for our veterans, and I'm thankful to God for what they do and for our active duty. It's my privilege. I've been working with the veterans and helping them as a pastor for many years, and as well as working with David Grant and going out and helping there at the hospital. And it's been my privilege to get to know the active and some of the veterans. I've gone to their bedside and prayed with some who are dying. I've done several funerals. Probably in the last 2 years, I've done about 18 veteran funerals at the Sacramento Valley there, the cemetery, as a reminder of the fact that these men gave their lives for our country. Would you honor us today? If you're a veteran of any branch, would you please stand up? We'd like to give you a round of applause and say thank you. Thank you very much. And also, is there any active duty? I know that Kyler stood. Is there any active duty that we did not recognize? If you'll please stand. Okay. Will Murphy. Let's give him a round of applause. Thanks. Thank you, Will. God bless you. And as I think of this, it just moves me to watch those kind of things, to remember what people did for us as a nation. Here we find in this passage two memorials that God reminds us about. These memorials are pictures, if you would. They're pictures of the power and presence of what God did for them as a nation. My wife and I, several years ago, when we first got married, I took her to go meet my family in Indiana. And when we got there, it was so funny because she had never met them. We were just newly married. And while we were there for a couple of days, we spent a few days there, my uncle decided he would pull out the old Super 8 video movies. You guys remember the Super 8? You guys remember that? No sound, just video. And what he had was hours and hours and hours of their children, my cousins, on video. I remember as we were sitting there for hours, bored out of our mind, watching all of these, you know, when they were little babies and all the things that happened and everything else. And Jan and I were sitting there like, oh, man, this is really exciting. And as we're sitting there, I turned to look and saw both my aunt and uncle sitting there crying. Tears were streaming down their face, because they were remembering all the things that those videos meant. It meant a lot to them. It meant for them a life. Here in this passage of the Word of God, we find that Joshua had just seen a dramatic event take place in chapter 3. They were to charge now into Canaan. They were to cross the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is a huge river. Now, this is just sort of a small picture of it. But if you could see, it was overflowing its banks at the time that they arrived at the scene. They come there, and they were to cross over Jordan with 2 million people. And how was this going to be accomplished except it be by God? And so they saw God do a miracle and parted the Jordan River for them to cross over into Canaan. And God had told them that they were to do something to remember this event. When they crossed over on the dry riverbed, we find in verse number 2 that God tells Joshua to get men ready. He had gotten them ready before, and now they were to take a stone from the dry riverbed of the Jordan River, one man out of every tribe, which would be 12 tribes. They were to take the stone out as a memorial to what God had done, and they were to take it to their campsite. Their campsite was Gilgal. And I want us to look at the picture. This is where Gilgal is. It's 8 miles from the Jordan River. So then not only they were to take these stones, but they were to carry them on their shoulder
8 miles to Gilgal. And Gilgal was just about 2 miles or so from Jericho. And we all knew something about Jericho. We knew something about that. So Gilgal was just out in the middle of nowhere. But it became a campsite for Israel. And they were to put these stones. This is a replica of what it probably looked like. And they were to put these stones out. And these stones were to be reminders of the fact of what God had done for them in the Jordan River. Now, what is really interesting is that while they carried these stones 8 miles, we also learned that in the midst of all this, there's another memorial. The other memorial is done by Joshua himself. In verse number 9, he is commanded that he would go, if you would, he would go to there in the Jordan River, he would take and make a memorial of 12 stones. Now, when the water would come back over, that would cover the memorial, and soon, before long, they would begin to see the significance of that, which we'll look at in just a minute. But Gilgal was an important place. Gilgal became a very important place in the nation of Israel. Not only was it a place of memorial of what God had done, but it became very significant. For example, it was there in Gilgal is where Saul was anointed the king, the first king of Israel, there in Gilgal. Gilgal was also the same place that when David, has his son Absalom had rebelled, and now David had fled for his life, he came back and stopped in Gilgal. It was the same place where there was a school of the prophets that we read about. Elijah felt that it was a very significant place. He would go back and revisit that place. And so this morning, as we think of this Memorial Day weekend, I want us to visit Gilgal from an Israelite perspective. And I want you to consider with me very carefully what those stones mean, what those two memorials mean. They are very, very significant, because not only are they significant to the nation of Israel, they're significant to us. But I must say this by way of introduction. It's interesting to me how that the unbelieving world, it means nothing to them. Stones don't mean anything to them. They're just a pile of rocks. But for us, as God's people, they are constant reminders of the fact that God is a big and powerful God. And this morning, I want you to realize that the same God that crossed them on the Jordan River is the same God that you and I know as our personal Savior. But I want you to notice there are three reminders. The first one we find is the reminder of God himself. We must remember that God is a God of love. We see his love all written throughout this story. You see, the work of God on their behalf clearly reveals the fact that God loves them, that God cares for his people, and God will not leave them. And in fact, the Bible even goes on to say, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's in Deuteronomy. God wants us to remember that he loved the nation of Israel, but by the same love that he had for Israel, God has for you today. God loves you. He cares for you. He's very compassionate toward you. But second of all, that's the second reminder, his compassion. It is strange how often we forget about how much God really loves us and how much compassion he has for us. It is strange how that we get amnesia, that we just seem to forget. In fact, in Psalm 78, God speaks of the nation of Israel. Have you ever noticed how Israel would forget what God had done? God would bless them, and then they would forget, and they would look at the blessings as if that's something they earned or something that they got for themselves, and they had forgotten God, and God would have to bring judgment and bring them back to the place where they'd recognize the fact that God did all of that because he loved them. He forgot about them. In Psalm 78, the Bible says, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forget his works and the wonders of that he had showed them. In Psalm 106, verse 7 says this, our fathers understand not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea or even at the Red Sea. You know what the worst part of the fact that they forgot God is, what forgetfulness is attached to. You see, it's true that whatever we love deeply, we will never forget. Whatever it is that in our own hearts and life that is very significant and very powerful, it's connected to our heart. And so when you forget what that is all about, in this case, God, when we forget what God has done, we forget all that God has meant to us. When we get, you know, through our daily lives with the stress and the pressures and all the other things that come with life, when that crowds out the meaning and significance of what God has meant to us, it's an amazing thing of how that we have to have this forgetfulness that comes in our hearts. And when that occurs, then the Bible makes it very clear that God is not pleased. By the way, that's why we have the Lord's Supper, to remind us of what God did for us on the cross. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? There's a songwriter that said it best, Lord, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. And by the way, that is very important in the life of a church, that as we observe the Lord's Supper, that we're reminding ourselves of what God did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. But then thirdly, I want you to consider this, and so that we will not forget about God, we forget about his love, his compassion, but also his guidance. The stone memorial was to be a reminder of God's hand of guidance upon them. Philip Keller said these words, far too often we quickly forget the past achievements accomplished on our behalf by God. And so it's so strange how that we do forget what God has done. We do forget the things that God has done for our lives. We do forget the fact that God has done these things for us because he loves us. Warren Wiersbe said these words in regards to memorials, and I think he's right. He said, there's nothing wrong with memorials, provided they don't link us to the past so that we fail to serve God in the present. And while the memorials are important, and while they're very significant, and while we as a nation, we have memorials, and we have memorials in Washington, D.C., and we know that, we understand that. But while we thank God for those things, let's also remember the fact that those things are not to be that which we stop and only live in the past. Those are signs. They're pictures, if you would. There is a picture of what God has done for our country. And in this case, it's a picture of what God has done for the nation of Israel in their nation, to remind them that when they face difficulties, when they face problems, when they face heartaches, when they face disappointments, when they face failures, that the memorial is that God is bigger than those things. And today, for all of us here, we spiritually must understand that these things are reminders to us. And someone had said, well, why is it that you preach the gospel each week? And why is it that we sing these songs about heaven? It's because it's a memorial to what God has done in our life and what God can do for us. And maybe today you might have a big problem and you might be struggling with something, but I want to remind you that God is bigger than those things. So the first reminder is God himself. And boy, I tell you what, if nothing else, if we just quit the service right here and there, that's good enough, because God is worth it all. But there's a second reminder I find in this passage. It's a reminder of God's deliverance. You see it down in verse 24. Can I get you to go with me there? We did not read that earlier. But in verse 24, here's what God says about those memorials to the nation. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You see, it's a reminder of God's deliverance. First of all, it is a witness to the world of God's salvation. The stones point to the fact that God delivered the nation of Israel by crossing over Jordan. And Jesus Christ, if you would, came here and delivered us from our sins by his death on the cross. And this cross is a memorial to that very fact. And what's really interesting is you say, where do you get all that? It's in the Bible. I want to call your attention to one thought about Joshua. When Joshua made his memorial, what we find is he made it in the bottom of the Red Sea. When the waters were allowed to go back to normal, they covered over that memorial. And it points to the fact that for us, we must understand that life can be quite overwhelming in life. I mean, there can be so many difficulties and struggles in life. And that as the waters of this world cover up our lives, that we have something bigger, we have something greater, we have something more powerful. And that is, we have our foundation, not in this world, but we have our foundation in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, if you trust anything else other than Jesus Christ, you are going to be disappointed, because it will not stand the pressures of this world. Jesus taught us that. He says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 and 25, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And I'm going to tell you something. That rock is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this. We need to build our lives that way. Now, let me give you a picture of how this works. You see, in the ancient world, they would build rocks. This is one of Herod's temples. And as you can see, that this is built on rock. And they understood that in the nation of Israel. In fact, one of the things Israel has, if you go with us, you'll be able to see this. This is one of the temples there, Herod's palace there. As you can look, it's all built on rock. And they understood that. And when Jesus was teaching them in the ancient world, and as he went from place to place, they knew about the rocks, because they knew that if you build your life on anything other than the rock, things were going to crumble. So we have a picture of storms in life. As the storms come, if your house is not built, if it's not built on Jesus Christ, it's going to be destroyed. Thank God Jesus Christ can anchor our life and give us a foundation, that when the storms of life come and when the heartaches come and the difficulties come, that he reminds you of the fact of who he is and what he did for you and for me. And that's what it's all about today when I think of this passage of Scripture. But then he goes on, and in verse 24, he says that we're to fear the Lord. That's the adoration by God's people. Fear is not to be understood in the sense of being seized by fear, but has the idea of a reverential awe, if you would, honoring God and looking to him and recognizing who he is and seeing him as he is in his fullness. That's what he's talking about. And that should elicit for us praise. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning, I was thinking, man, don't we have a wonderful Savior? Aren't you? God, you're so wonderful. You know, we can boast about him. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, praise is boasting about what you enjoy. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy my relationship with Jesus Christ. I enjoy spending time with him. I enjoy knowing the fact that God has made it possible for me to know him in all of his fullness and who he is. What a blessing that is. But there's a third reminder I want to call your attention to very quickly, and I must close. Remember God's promises. God was providing a teaching lesson for the children. The children are important. You know, children's ministries in a church is very important. The bus ministry is very important. All that we do with our children are very, very important. And this gives them a reminder, the fact that God has wonderful characteristics, and that all of these things refers to his power, to his faithfulness, and to his promises, and to his love for his people. These are the reminders. And we speak of this to our children. We talk about the power of God to our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, the Lord tells us, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eye have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." In other words, we're to teach them these things. How important it is that we teach our children the right things. And it'd be real easy for them to be wowed by the world and the people and the things of the world, the plaudits of the world. It'd be very easy for them to be wowed by those things. But what we're to remind them of is God's power, who God is. And by the way, children are naturally inquisitive. Does any of these children look like he looks like he's looking for an answer? How about her? She's looking. He's looking for an answer too, rather. It's not a her, it's a him. He's looking for an answer. Maybe you're here today and you have children. They ask you a lot of questions. I know that when my kids started talking, it was a question after question after question after question after question. You guys ever dealt with that as parents? Amen? It's like, why? 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 And that's why parents, you know, our kids used, when we were kids, used to say, "Why does mom and dad always say, because I said so?" Because after a while, you get tired of answering. Amen? But I want to tell you this. God says for God's people, the incident provides for us an opportunity to teach our children who God is. In Exodus chapter 13, "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage." We're to take time to answer our children's questions about God. The sad part of many Christians today is parents do not recognize their responsibility in that way. Many parents allow their other interests to take over that time. I read the story about the Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy. His aunt had told him about a story that, and then she refused to finish explaining the story to him, and it troubled him greatly. In fact, he was deeply hurt inside. She stirred his emotions by telling him about Jesus, a man who was crucified on a cross. And he said to his aunt, "Why? Why would they torture a man? Why would they do that?" She said they were wicked. That was her answer. He said, "But wasn't it because he was a man, that he was a God, that he was the God that became man?" And instead of explaining that Jesus was indeed the Savior of the world, she told him to go to bed. She says 9 o'clock, but he pressed her. He persisted. She said, "Be quiet. I've got to go to have my tea." This left him greatly agitated. And he found it incomprehensible how that somebody could crucify the Son of God and no one would tell him the answer. Could she have taken a little time to give up her tea to tell her nephew about Jesus Christ? And my question is this: could you not give up some time to tell your children about Jesus Christ? Not only that, but the purpose of life for our children is the second aspect of this promises of God. This is an opportunity for us to be able to tell our kids about how big God is and who God is and what God has done. I read about one father who said this: "I took my children to school, but not to church. I taught them to drink, but not the living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not be fishers of men. I made the Lord's Day a holiday rather than a holy day. Sad, sad. Look, here's what God says. We're to remember. These two memorials are very significant in the nation of Israel. Powerfully significant. I read about a soldier that was fighting in the American Revolutionary War. His name is James Williams. And he wrote a letter to his son on June the 12th, 1779. His son's name is Daniel, and he wrote these words to his son. This is the first chance I've had to write you. I am aware by the calls of Providence in the field of defense of my country. Williams went on to how deeply he missed his eight children and their mother, who sits like a dove that has lost its mate, having the weight of the family on her shoulders. He described to her the accidental death of a fellow soldier, then concluded, uncertainty of life ought to induce every man to prepare for death. Williams died shortly after that in the Battle of Kings Mountain in South Carolina. And what he's saying is this: I gave my life for this country. I'm going to have to do that. I've driven by Kings Mountain several times. I've been there. Never even thought about what that meant. That man gave his life so that I could enjoy the freedom I have right now. But just as he gave his life, there's someone else who gave his life so that you and I can enjoy spiritual freedom. And that's Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? And if you know him, let me ask you this. Do you remember what he did for you? Have you taken time to thank him for what he's done? Heavenly Father, Lord, today as we consider very carefully these memorials, we're reminded of all that you did. Lord, I pray that you'd please work in our hearts even now.